Up to we are middle of Perek Aleph Mizmar, not Perek Mizmar of Hegel. Mizmar Aleph. Let's just run through what we're up to until now. Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo Halach Vatzas Rishoim. The praises of man. What are the praises of a human being? The answer is Asher. His praises can be defined in all of the situations where he was able to overcome the Yetzer Hara. Asher lo halach batzas rishon. He did not go in the way, the counsel of the wicked. Uvederech hatov lo amod. And he did not stand in the road. He did not travel according to the. He did not take advice. The atzas means the advice of the wicked. He did not travel the road of the wicked, and he did not sit in the meshav leitzim lo yashav. He did not sit in the assembly of the scoffers.
Yeah. Late. The usual translation is scorners.
Scorners.
Yeah.
Okay. Late. I always like to translate as not as a word, but as a concept. A person who takes something that is valuable and makes nothing out of it. A person who there are certain things in this world that are sacred have enormous value and significance, and there are people who just, it's not important. This is not an important thing to do. Because let's say in the world, olam hateva, cleanliness. Cleanliness is the most important thing to be clean. You don't want to get sick, disease, illness. Who needs to be clean? Who needs to take a shower? Who needs to engage in personal hygiene? Right? We know there could be nothing more important than personal hygiene in order to live a long, healthy life and not to be an annoyance to other people. What's so important? Who needs to take a shower? This, that. So that's called the lates. You're taking something that is obviously very valuable and important, and you are diminishing its significance. Now take that idea and apply it to things that are not so obvious. Not so obvious. Take it when it comes to spirituality, Torah, to be Yerush Shemayim, to be Oisek and Mitzvahs, to live a life. The world doesn't appreciate these things. They don't appreciate these things. And we appreciate, but let's say Chas V'Shom is a person amongst us, or even that tries to diminish its value, that's called a Leitz. A Leitz is something that we know to be extremely valuable, to diminish its significance. I remember there's a marshal. I remember my father used to say this over all the time, so the rock of it, but that during the war, so during the time of the war, Aaron Kohler was in America, and he was desperately raising money to bribe the Germans to save some lives. Jews were for sale. For a few dollars, you can buy a Jew, you can save a Jew's life. So he was Machal Shabbos. He went on the taxi, they went around on Shabbos, from shul to shul on Shabbos, the Vadat Zola, to raise money, to make appeals. And he came to a shul, they made an appeal, and then they told the people in the shul what's going on, and he made a passionate appeal for people to give money. It happened to me that the shul that he was giving the appeal was a very wealthy shul, and that week was the shul dinner. The shul dinner, and the shul themselves, the rabbi was desperately trying to fundraise for the shul for his own salary, and he saw their Aaron Kohler. He was very successful in arousing the people, and they were in a very gracious giving mood, and the rabbi felt that the more that by giving, pledging a lot of money to the Vadat Zola, it's going to take away from his shul, from the salary, his salary, from the income of the shul. So after he gave his drasha, he gets up and he says, Rabbi said, the rabbi spoke, and he said something very important, and then please, we're going to now make an appeal, pledges, everyone should give. Every penny counts. People had hasagos to give dollars, to give hundreds, maybe even thousands. And the rabbi, with those few little words, he destroyed the entire mindset of the people.
Yeah.
Every penny counts.
Well, you give every thousand counts, it doesn't have quite the same ring.
Okay, but the way, okay, maybe we don't appreciate how he said it, but the way the story is told is the way he said that every penny counts, he diminished the expectations of what people were willing to pledge. People were willing to give a lot of money, and just those innocent words, the way he said it, oh, I only have to give 30 cents, 25 cents, I mean, whatever, something like that. That's called the lates. You're dealing here with Atzolos Nefashos, people are dying, Jews are for sale, people are willing to pledge a significant sum of money, and for a person to make a statement like that, it diminishes, it takes a davar choshuv and diminishes it all the way down to nothing. That is called a late. Uva Moshav late sim lo yoshav. And then we went further and we learned.
By the way, I see something very interesting here.
Yeah?
He didn't say Bederech Chotim. He said Bederech Chataim. He was like, Shetatio. Itamu Chataim in ours, like we said today. Lo Chotim, Chataim. And the Derech is the way of life. It's not Derech like walking when you walk. He says Reshaim, he says Leitzim. But when it comes to Chataim, he says,
Chatoim. So what do you want to say to me? Why Chatoim and not Choitim? The way it's a derech.
This is what the story of Rabbi Meir, she
said. Don't pray like
Choitim, Chatoim.
The sin should come to an end. Okay, you have to think about it. It's very, very deep.
It changes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's now go further. The pasuk base kim b'saras Hashem chafso. Now we have the pasuk base kim b'saras Hashem chafso. We did yesterday also that this individual, his entire goal is to his desire is in Hashem's Torah. Uvisaras so in his own Torah yegei yom v'loila. He meditates yom v'loila. That's what we ended yesterday. We discussed yesterday again the difference between the word chafso and the word yegei. Chafso chafetz. Chafetz means a desire. It usually connotes something that is a word of passion. And yegeh means to meditate. So we said yesterday that it's not really correct because Rashi makes it very clear the word yegeh relates to the heart. Every time you have this expression, it's belief. Very, very specific. Pasuk in Yoshua. Okay, you shall meditate in the Torah yomam v'layla. So make a point. Many people say vihigisa. So I know this year I had the zuchus to lane on the half, only the haftorah on Simchas Torah. Okay, they break up the laning, so the only laning that I did was I laned the haftorah. And I made a mistake 2 years in a row. There's a person there, Rebbe Talmud Chacham, and he told me, and he didn't want to embarrass me publicly, but after davening, he told me in a very able way that I made a mistake, and I remember he told me exactly the same thing last year. I did the same thing last year. I said vihigisa. It's not vihigisa. It's vihogisa. A komatz. Vihogisa yomam olayla. And I don't know why in my mind it's vihigisa. It's vihogisa yomam olayla. And that's what it says over here. So v'sayraso yehegeh yomam olayla. Pasuk gimel. After pasuk gimel. Vihaya. This individual that he is sur merah. What will become of him? So now we have an analogy. The analogy is going to be like a tree. The Hayah, he will be ke'etz shosul al pal geiman. He will be an etz that is replanted. The word shosul is sealed. We'll see over here the one in the farshim that says the word shosul. By anyone over here, by any chance, I put a lot of notes, marks in one of the Navim. Does anyone here have my Navi that I wrote up? I probably put my name in it. If anyone, okay, so okay, I wrote them, there's a lot of scribbling on the page, so no one here has it. Okay, so that means it's probably in the pile still. Okay, don't worry. V'hoya ke'et shasul. What does it mean the word shasul? Shasul means to replant. It does not say here the word natua. There are two types of words used to refer to taking
a transplanted.
So this person will be ke'et shasul, like a tree that has been replanted al palge moim on streams of water. Oh, you found it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, look for it.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I'll take this. Kidding.
You know what it reminds me of today? Today, you look at a boy in Shidduchim, so you look at his Shidduch resume. So what does it say? It says he started out in this yeshiva for kindergarten, then he went to this yeshiva for elementary school, and then he went to three high schools, and then he went to five post-high schools. So in other words, he's shosul. He's been uprooted. He was uprooted from one institution and he was replanted in another. And again, it was shosul means to be uprooted and replanted. Uprooted, so that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. That's a sign of instability. It's not a good sign. When someone has been around in too many places, when the resume is too long, that means there's something very, very wrong. Yet, over here it says, wouldn't you expect that the person, that the Talmud Chacham should be like a tree that's notua, that's been planted in this location? Shasul means to be uprooted. So maybe we read in Saba, but basically the idea is not necessarily that a tree that is very delicate, it will only survive where it was originally planted. Once it undergoes turmoil, once it undergoes some type of the situation is not good, that's it, it's going to die. It's not able to adapt. It is indeed, obviously, the joke that I gave you with the Bacha as a resume, that's not a good sign, that's instability. But a mature adult is able to deal with every situation that life throws at him. He can be shosul. Right now in this environment, I can handle it. If I go to a different country, a different community, I can deal with it. If I have this job, I can deal with it. In every given situation, he is equipped. He is prepared to deal with the challenges. A person that is pampered and is not trained, he only knows how to deal with what he's used to. In this environment, I know how to maneuver. But if things change, if I have to relocate for whatever the reason, I don't know. Think about Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim hoya b'day roisa. So what is, think of the deeper meaning of that Rashi. He was in his generation, he was a tzadik. If had he been another generation, he would have been even a greater tzadik. Now wait a minute, is that itself a milo? What is that itself a milo? Rashi yesh darshin l'shevach. Is even that a shevach? Because why should it make a difference in which generation you're in? In this generation, I'm a tzaddik, but in the other generation, I would have been even a bigger tzaddik. But why wouldn't you be in this generation itself even a greater tzaddik? The fact that you only can survive, those who darish l'gnai are in this generation is a tzaddik. In the other generation, v'nechshav l'klum. Why?
Yeah,
why
if he has the potential to be a great tzaddik, why is he not becoming even in this generation?
So what is it saying? Let's focus on Yesh Doshim
Gnaz. He still would have been a tzaddik,
yes.
Just he would not rate anywhere near me.
So why is this okay? That's a simple interpretation. See, let's focus on Yesh Doshim Gnaz. Had he been in this, he was a tzaddik in this generation. But had he been in another generation, lo haya nechshav klum. So the simple understanding is he would be the same tzaddik. The simple perush hamilos of this second part of Rashi is in his own generation relative. You have to add it would relative to his environment. He was a tzaddik. But if he would have been in the generation of Avraham Avinu, relative to Avraham, relative, he would have been nothing. Okay, that's the simple pshat they teach us in elementary school. But there's a much deeper understanding. And that is, no. Lo haya nechshav klum means he wouldn't have been the tzaddik, period. Because Noach's limitation was, he was custom made, in this interpretation, according to what it says, to deal with the people in his neighborhood. This is what I'm used to. This is how I have been programmed. I've been programmed to handle the matzav in this generation. In another generation, I don't know how it works. I can't figure out the mentality of people. It's just not my place. So I wouldn't even be a tzaddik. I would just be a nobody. I would not be able to adapt. Part of the greatness of man, part of the mind of a person, is a person knows how to adapt. In this matzav, you know, you see people who come from other countries, foreigners. Someone that comes, let's say, Russians. People who came from Russia. So older, and anyone, any you could come from other countries, the Soviet Union, they let out people, they came to America. Not everyone was able to adapt. You're used to living your life a certain way. There's a certain mentality, there's a certain culture. You come to America, it's very different. Okay, people that lived in Iran, any country, or even for whatever reason, the person even now, let's say a person retires and he moves to Eretz Yisrael. So you hear stories, they don't adapt well. Some people, they thrive, they do very well. There are some people, they go to Eretz Yisrael, they make Aliyah, and a couple of years later, you see them back in America. What are you doing back in America? I thought you made Aliyah. Didn't work out. Why didn't it work out? It just didn't work out. Well, now, okay, there are infinite number of reasons why, you know, your family, your wife, children, and parnasa, v'chulu. But everyone understands this concept, is that some people, they do very well in a given situation, but if they have to change to a different environment, a different culture, a different set of rules, they're not flexible. They don't have that ability to adjust, to adapt, to succeed elsewhere. It's a very big mila that if a person is programmed with Torah and mitzvahs, you can deal with anything. A person that is trained in Hashem's Torah and it totally permeates his essence, it doesn't make a difference whether you're living in America, you're living in Iran, you're living in the Soviet Union, you're living in France. It's all the same. I'm a Torah Jew. A Torah Jew follows what it says in the Torah. Whatever conditions you throw at me, I will adapt. The person who's Yeger in Hashem's Torah, Yom V'Layla, he's precisely Ke'et Shosu. He's not limited to being a Natua. A Natua means a person, a tree that's planted. You plant it here, it grows, it's magnificent. And now they're doing construction. What a beautiful tree. What a shame. Such a beautiful tree, they're doing construction. They're going to knock down this whole area. They're going to make it into a highway. So let's spend an enormous amount of money to bring in some cranes to uproot the tree and replant it in another environment. And they take the tree, they uproot it, they plant it somewhere else, dead. The tree doesn't take. It doesn't take. Not every tree can be replanted. There are limited situations where a tree is robust enough to the degree where it could be shasul. A Talmud Chacham has that mila. He can deal with anything. The Torah deals with all modern technology, all different situations. The question is, are we able to adapt and be as what it was meant to be? This man is going to be Ke'et Shasu. The word Shasu is very precise. Maybe we have to all read inside where I got this idea.
The word Hele is the mind within. It keeps coming up. It's not
spring.
Palge,
streams of water.
So he himself, Novea Torah,
he flows. He himself is. He gives out. Right? He gives forth. It's a living wellspring, and multiple springs of different to each person. He relates to each person on their level. It's not only one nachal. It's palgei mayim, streams of water. He's able to deal and teach and give over to many different types of people. Let's go further. Asher piryo yitein biito, whose fruit comes forth in its proper time. We'll see a lot of read the words of the Rashi. V'yolelo yibol, and whose leaves do not wither. The chol asher yase yatzlich. Whatever he does, he yatzlich. Loshon osid. Whatever he does, yatzlich, he will be successful. Success is not immediate. Success takes time, but he has a plan. Success is always a plan going forward. Let's go with the Rashi. Rashi, Pasagimel, Rav to Pasagimel. Rashi on page 8. Page 8, Shasul. Okay, we have some French words. I don't know what they mean.
The only one of these that I can decipher is this first one. London, which means planted.
Planted? Okay. Palge, another word. The leaves do not wither. The leaves appear to be to the naked eye something of no value. Leaves, they're here today, they're gone tomorrow. Now it's the fall, the leaves are falling off the tree. His leaves will not wither, and that means even things which appear to be pesoles, afilu hapesoles shaboy, of the tree, litsoirechi, has a purpose. We know that in medicines, many types of medicines are derived from leaves. Okay, so this Chazal said this already, and when you want to apply this to a Talmud Chacham, what does this mean? It means sichasan shal talmidei chacham litsoirechi utzricha Talmud. Even the idle chatter of talmidei chachamim has value. And utzricha Talmud, there is something to learn, to study, to analyze a lesson that can be found even in the idle chatter of what talmidei chachamim speak. We know we had this last week's parasha of Eliezer. Yofe sichason shel avdei avos yoser mitoyrason shel banim. The parasha of Eliezer, Rivka, and Yitzchak, where Eliezer was sent to find a zivuk. Eliezer was called a cursed person. Orur. Ata orur v'ani baruch ve'ein orur midabek b'baruch. That's what he said to Eliezer, says in Rashi. Yet he was a slave. He was a cursed slave. And yet it was repeated, the whole parasha, in enormous detail. Why? Yofa sichoson shel avdei avos. Eliezer was the psoilas. He was the psoilas of Avraham Avinu. And look how much chavivus the Torah gave to Eliezer to repeat his words twice. The whole story over and over. And every single nuance, every single little dot is expounded by Chazal to teach incredible things. And yet some of the ikarim we have in the halacha lemaisa that we practice every single day, we only know it through a teeny, teeny remez later on. So a Talmud Chacham, it's not just who he is, what he does, his accomplishments, it's even the psoilas of the Talmidei Chachamim, even that has enormous value, and that is rooted in this principle of the Oleyu Lo Yibol. We have also in this week's parasha, what does it say about Eliezer? That it's better to have the zevel of the mules of Yitzchak than the gold and silver of Avi Melech. Rashi says it on this week's parasha, that it's more valuable. The psoilas of a mule. What is a mule? A mule is a mamzer. A mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. You know what that is? That's a mamzer. Because a horse and a donkey don't belong together. That's not natural. On a horse and a donkey mate, they produce a mule. So it's a mamzer. A mamzer itself is not a very good thing. And the psoilas, the waste product, it's the psoilas of the psoilas of this world. That had more value in the eyes of the world than the gold and silver, the best of the best of Avimelech. The stature that Yitzchak Avinu had in this world is beyond description. People idolized him. Ad kedei kach. His mules, which represent the lowest of the law. Not just the mules, the waste of the mules, the zevel of the mule of Yitzchak was gold. It was sold by the pound on eBay for millions, and a gold nugget, a gold bar from the treasury of Avimelech, you pick up for a couple of bucks. That's what it says in Rashi.
I was just wondering, anyhow, the fact that it's called a Messick Eliezer, even though we say he's from Canaan, but if he's from Damascus, either it's not Canaan or in those days, Damascus was part of the land of Canaan.
So he was a Canaanite. The question.
Damascus is not part of Canaan today.
Right, today it's not part. Aha, aha. So you say
maybe
we,
that's why it says that. Uh-huh. Why tell us he's
the Eva Hayarding?
Right. Why tell us that? Maybe because to say that maybe he's not a Canaanite. Uh-huh. He's not part of that.
Not part of Canaan. Okay. Okay.
Maybe that's the reason he uses the word. Unless he was part of Canaan in those days.
Because I'm different from Ahu.
Oh, well,
they
don't say that about
Eliezer.
We assume it is.
Yeah,
the difference is between Shaptul and Yisui. The pasuk doesn't say Yishtoel, that if you become, if you're Teres Hashem Chesed, you'll be planted by the Lord. It says Shatul.
Shatul means uprooted.
Shatul is uprooted?
Yes, Shatul means to be uprooted. Let me show you where I saw this. I have it over here.
But we're talking about an eight.
There's a difference between Natua and Shatul.
Shatul doesn't mean uprooted.
There's a difference. There are two words, Natua and Shasul. Let me see who says this. It says over here.
Is
Likutei HaShas brings it down? Okay, so we'll see it soon. I have some notes over here. Okay, we'll
cut. Shasul
makes a lot of sense. If you're learning Torah, you're building your tree that was there already on a Besaira. You have the Messiah.
We're comparing the Talmud Chacham, this person, to an eitz that is shasul. Why doesn't the pasuk say her eitz not tua?
Because it's not your natua. If you're Talmud Chacham, you're basing it on a Messiah, all the way back to Har Sinai. If you're based on a Sinai, so the tree is already solid.
And now by you more, learning Torah,
you have a ger or a bal tshuva. When they start learning Torah, they're not learning a brand new Torah. It's not a new tree. They're taking whatever the rav, the yeshiva,
okay,
whatever, and they're growing
on that plant
that's okay, already planted and rooted in.
Okay, okay.
You notice when they build a new city, the law says you have to build a barrier around every tree.
Okay, okay, I hear.
You don't uproot the tree and put in a new tree. Because the guys are building houses for millions of dollars. $3,000, they get a brand new tree. But they have to build a gate around it. Because the tree that's there already has a Messiah. It's acclimated to the land, it's already gotten its mineral roots, it knows where it's going.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. I hear. Let's go further.
Anyway,
I know. Okay, we'll come to it. We'll come to it.
Okay, it's not too
long. Okay, we'll come to it. We'll come to it. Okay, we're off to the Likud. Okay. Let's just run through the Rashis first. Let's run through the Rashis. We'll come to it. And the Malbim explains it in a lot of detail. Lo yibol lashon karmesh. The word yibol means to wither. His leaves will now wither. Next pasuk. Pasuk dalu. Lo yichain hodoshon pasuk dalu. Lo yichain hodoshon. The wicked are not compared to the tree. They are not so. Rather, what are the wikim kamoitz? They are. Kamoitz is just cash, straw and the
chaff.
The psoiles of wheat, of a stalk of wheat, you crush, you thresh, and then you separate the kernel and the chaff. The chaff, you then winnow, you take a tool, you throw it up into the air, and the wind blows it away. Kim kamoitz asher titfenu ruach, the wind blows and pursues. Titfenu means it is an expression of a strong wind comes and pushes it with force. Al, let's see, Rashi, kamoitz, lushon kash, period. Next pasuk. Pasuk, hey, al kein, therefore, lo yikumu rishon mamishpok. Now, what's the alpha? We have to see, what is the connection? So far, the pasuk has told us over here, ashrei ho'ish. And we have given the praise of man as a man who does not go in the ways of the three different ways of evil. But instead, the Talmud Chacham, instead, the person, he meditates, he devotes himself to the ways of the Torah. The wicked are not like this. The wicked are compared to mites, chaff. Al kein, therefore. What's the therefore? We have to see. Lo yakumu rishon ba mishpat. The wicked will not stand in mishpat. Now, what does that mean, yakumu? Does that mean that they will be judged and then they will be dismissed? Or does it mean they will not even reach a point where they're worthy of mishpat? They will be pushed away so quickly they won't even reach 11, in order to stand judgment, you have to be a Baal Madrega. Do animals have mishpat? An animal has free will, right? Yeah, you have a dog, cat, you have animals, they make decisions. Do animals stand before a judge in Shemayim for mishpat? Why did you bite this person? Why did you eat this food? Why did you walk on someone's lawn? Why didn't you behave yourself? Is there such a thing? It doesn't say anywhere that animals enter into a courtroom to be judged for their actions. Now, does that mean they're not? Is there reward and punishment? We don't know. We have no idea what all these things mean.
Or it seems to indicate that they don't. They that they have, in other words, free will on some level, but they, God imbued them with, inculcated them with a certain natural instinct to react.
And they're not, they're not judged. But they still make decisions. You can't deny the fact that there are some very sophisticated animals and they make decisions. It's not the same kind. Okay, so the answer, it's not the same kind of process. And what is the nafkamina? What is the nafkamina? They definitely, animals definitely to a degree make decisions. And some of decisions are from our perspective, are acts of kindness, and some from our perspective, you know, so from our perspective, you know, you don't know what's going through their minds, whatever that means, that appears to be cruel. So whatever it is, they're making decisions. Do they have mishpat? You never heard of this. A human being stands before a judge. You stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You stand before a Beis Din. There is mishpat. Animals are not even worthy. They may make decisions, and there may be some reward or punishment, whatever that means, but they don't reach a level where they have what we call justice.
Well, when it says Vesabhemot Tarogu, it's basically because he shouldn't be there, so people point to it and say, this was the cause.
That exactly proves the point.
No,
excellent.
But the animal is not being punished because of what he did, he's being punished because he was used.
Exactly, it's an embarrassment for man. So you prove the point.
What I said, that they have no mishpat.
Oh, so you mamash prove the point.
When God destroyed the world, he destroyed the animals too.
If a man lives with an animal, the halach is the animal's put to death. Not because the animals are, Ramayevsky says, because it's judged for its actions, it's because the animal is an embarrassment for mankind. Any time a person sees the animal, they're going to say, oh, this is the cause. They're going to associate it with the person, the Navera. Bilam, the donkey.
What about the animals in Noah's favor? The animals were destroyed also. They get
the
animals.
But God wanted, he didn't want to have to start the world from the beginning.
But there was no mishpat. It doesn't say there was a mishpat. It doesn't say there was a mishpat.
Why were they destroyed?
Because
Kihishkis Kolbasar Darukoy Al Oretz. Hashem destroyed them without a judgment. It was what is it called? A summary execution?
Yeah. That what it's called? Summary judgment.
Summary judgment is an expression which means there's no real mishpat. You don't have a chance to defend yourself. I don't know. Obviously, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did destroy all the animals, the top of the mammals, the fact that Hashem did destroy the animals because the pasuk Hishchis Kol Basar Darak Hayal Aretz. But we don't find, to the best of my knowledge, anywhere in Chazal where an animal has a lawyer and there is a Melitz Yosher, Melitz Echad Minei Elef. You don't find such a concept. You only find this concept.
What?
So we explain the Shai Niskol is only because of association. It's only because of association that the animal is a dangerous animal, but it's not that someone comes to defend the animal. You don't buy a shor hanitzel. The animal gores and kills three times. It's a mood to even the first time. So even after the first time it kills, it's put to death. You don't have anyone coming along and saying, listen, you have to have rachmanis on this animal. The animal had a hard life. It was a yosim, and it didn't get a good education, and they didn't feed it that day. You know, today a human being that stands trial, you have lawyers, you have people, they come up with different, very creative reasons why you should have rachmanis. There's no such thing. Did the animal kill or not?
There's one animal that turned that had a lawyer.
Who?
Because he was his own lawyer, there was the awesome of Bilam.
So it says in the Chazal, the reason why the donkey was killed was not because of anything wrong. It was an embarrassment for humanity.
Right, yeah,
an animal gave Musa to humanity.
There's
summary execution. A summary execution for animals. The point is, there's a principle called mishpat. Mishpat allows for a person to defend themselves. They have been accused of a crime. There are witnesses. It's clear as day they've committed a crime. You don't just kill a person. You don't take the law into your own hand. There's a system called mishpat. Mishpat is created for advanced creatures of Hashem, human beings. Here it says a principle, Al Kain, therefore, Lo Yokumu Rishoim Ba Mishpat. What does that mean exactly? First Mizmar, in Tehillim. Does that mean they will not survive the Mishpat? That the wicked people will be taken to court, there will be accusations presented, they will have lawyers, good, solid lawyers that are being paid an enormous amount of money to brainstorm and come up with all the crazy excuses you can think of in the world why they should not be punished for their crimes. And lo yokumu, when the mishpat concludes, the judges will come in and they will issue a verdict, guilty. They will not survive the accusations, even with all of their best defense lawyers. Is that what it means? Or what it means is that the wicked are so wicked, they're no different than animals. And animals are punished because of their crimes without a process of mishpat. You don't give the animal a benefit of the doubt. If an animal kills a human being, a shor haniskal, one time, witnesses come in and say that this animal killed a human being. The animal is immediately executed. There is no system of mishpat. Let's get the animal a lawyer. And let's take out all the cameras and study the animal's day, what exactly happened in the morning. Let's look at it from a different angle. Let's go and do some psychoanalysis of what was going through the mind of the animal. Instead of kill the animal, we'll put the animal away in some in a minimum security prison. There's no such thing. The animal killed, summary execution. There's no process. What?
They go to the pen.
There's no process. There is a chesed that Hashem has created in the Torah called Mishpat. The Amdu Shnei Ho'anashim Lefnei HaShofet. There is such a principle of chesed. A person who seemingly is gzuntai, is guilty of a crime, is given an opportunity to defend himself. That is an incredible chesed. This principle does not apply to the animal kingdom. Ki hishchis kol bosar darkei al aretz, finished. Animals were destroyed. Question, here it says regarding the wicked. Lo al kein, lo yokumu rishoim ba mishpat. How do you translate those words? Does it mean simply that the wicked will be given a fair trial? They'll be able to bring lawyers and bring arguments, present arguments why they have done nothing wrong, and it will be a system of mishpat, of judges.
Due process.
Or do we say they're not even worthy of that? They're not even worthy of that, of giving them the benefit of the doubt. The facts speak for themselves. Summary execution. They will not even enter into the court. Lo yokumu rishoim ba mishpat. They will be no different than animals.
I would say that by the words itself, lo yokumu rishoim, the rishoim will not be able to stand ba mishpat, meaning that there is a mishpat.
Okay, so I told you the dilemma. Exactly what I said. I said so we have a dilemma. You can translate the word l'chora both ways. Let's see the Vashon.
You can translate it the other way. They are not going to stand in a mishpat. It means there is a mishpat, and they don't have a leg to stand on because it's a quite summary judgment, call it whatever you want, evident that they're so wrong, that they're so bad.
So they don't have grounds to stand on.
I think you can translate it both ways. Okay, let's go for that. Let's go. The sinners will not be present in the adas, the assembly of the tzaddikim. Now this goes back, you have to repeat words, we always repeat words. The word lo yokumu is to be repeated a second time. The chatam, the sinners, the chatoim, it doesn't say the choitim. Okay, Rav Kalman made a point of mentioning over here that in this mizmor twice really does not say the word choitim. It says chatoim. Chatoim means sins. Sins will not, here l'choire, it's using as a, on a very simple level, as a barred expression, that sinners, even though it should say, you would assume choitim, it says the word chatoim. But let's hold back for one moment. We're borrowing the term sins, and we're applying that to human beings. They will not stand. Where? Ba'adas, the assembly of the tzaddikim. Notice when it comes to the late sim, it's called a moshav. What?
Okay, fine.
One thing at a time. The chatoim ba'adas tzaddikim, when it comes to the tzaddikim, it's called an adas. An adas is an assembly. When it comes to the late sim, it's called a moshav. They shouldn't call an old age home a moshav zakenim. They should call it an adas zakenim. Okay, I'm just joking. We have over here two different words. Admosai lo edo horoho hazois. Okay, so no word is good. Every word you get. When it comes to the late sim, it's called a moshav. A moshav. What do you call it? A moshav. The word. And when it comes to the chatoim, it's the tzaddikim is called an adas tzaddikim. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi in the previous page, pasuk hey and vav. Rashi on page 10. Al kein therefore davuku lenikra shel acharav. This pasuk hey is connected to the pasuk. Well, let's do the last pasuk. One more time. I'm sorry. Back page 12. Ki yodea Hashem derech tzaddikim. Hashem is aware of the way of the tzaddik, and the translation I prefer, given here by the Rid. The Rid is the only one that says on the page, on page 12, you look down in Pasuk Vav, in Perush Horid, he says that it means to love. And we find this by Avraham Avinu, Rashi himself says it there. Ki yodativ, l'man asher yitzave esbonav yitzbeisei achrav lishmar derech Hashem. The word yidativ means in place in Tanakh to love. Yeah, by Boaz, he quotes the pasuk in the Rid. Kiloimar ohev v'doim lo ki yidativ. That's by Avraham Avinu. Hashem loves Avraham. In fact, Rashi on the pasuk there actually says that. Rashi says ki yidativ. Hashem loves Avraham. And by Boaz, mo datanu. He is the person who loves us. He's part of our family. And in fact, it says this by Adam and Chava. Al kein yazov ish. It's over the it's over the Adam Yoda es Chava Ishto. What does that mean? Adam Yoda. It means to love her. Adam loved Chava Ishto, according to one interpretation. So here in this first mizmor, Ki Yodea Hashem Derech Tzadikim, the Rid hits a home run and he says Hashem he loves. He has a chiba. The Farish, he says in the Farish, I'm not making this up. Koloimar Ohev. Hashem loves the derech of the tzaddikim, the way of love of the tzaddikim, the derech and the way of the reshoim toyved. It doesn't say that Hashem's interesting. Hashem, according to this interpretation, maybe that's the difficult part of the interpretation. You would expect the parallel Hashem as a sin, as a hatred. It does not say that. It says it will be destroyed. This derech will self-destruct. It's not sustainable. It is not sustainable to evade. It will be destroyed. Let's go back to the Rashi. Rashi back on page 10. Pasuk Ein Vav. Al kein therefore davakul lemikra shalachar of this pasuk. Of Al Kain Lo Yikumu Rishon Mishvat is connected to the next pasuk. Why is it so that the wicked, Rashi is coming to answer the question of Al Kain. Al Kain, yeah. It stands out like a sore thumb here.
Yes.
What is Al Kain? Therefore, what?
It's connected.
What's the connected? We in the beginning of the Mizmar, we talk about that the praises of man are the fact. In that which he does not go in the ways of the wicked, and instead he devotes himself to the study of Torah, and he devotes himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he will be like a tree that's been replanted. The wicked, they're going to be like chaff. Okay,
because
very nice.
Why?
Because they're kamotz.
is not as strong.
But Hashem does not...
Right.
Because they're going to be kamotz, that's why they're not going to stand in mishpat. I mean, okay, it's still weak because Hashem does not deny. Hashem does not deny reward or punishment. Every person is entitled to their day in court. It appears to be a problem. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Rashi appears to answer the question. Rashi appears to have been bothered, what is the meaning of the word Al-Kain? And therefore he says, you're right, it's the next pasuk, that the Al-Kain is a response to the next pasuk. You have to read these two pasukim backwards. Mm-hmm. And when you read the first, you read it the other way around, that Hashem, he loves the derech of the tzaddikim, and the derech of the wicked, toiveid, will be destroyed, they don't exist. And because they don't even exist, that's why They're not entitled to mishpat. They're not going to survive mishpat because the derech of the rishaim, their way of life, is destructive. They don't got a chance. Al-Kain. They live a life of a sheker. Al-Kain. Therefore, that's why lo yukumu rishaim ba mishpat in all of its various flavors. So Rashi is coming to tell us a yisoy that the word Al Kain is a response to the next pasuk. We have so many times we've learned Psukim. This is a little bit unique. So many times we've learned Psukim where we take a pasuk and we've learned already hundreds of times is don't translate a pasuk. Do not translate the words of a pasuk in order. Every pasuk, especially in the Nevi'im Achronim and here in Ksuvim, are meant. They're puzzles. You have a series of words. And if we wish to translate the pasuk, we have to select one word at a time, rearrange it to translate it to make sense out of it. It's done by design because that allows multiple translations, multiple ideas to be presented.
You're right, because it says ki yodeh Hashem, al ken ve ki yodeh.
Why al ken? Because ki yodei Hashem et haderech.
So the key fits in. So Rashi's coming because if you just read it, we're so used to reading every word sequentially. That's the way we've been trained in every language. The words must flow. No one is expected to take a sentence and take words in the next, the words at the end of the sentence, and to rearrange them and put them in the beginning of the sentence to make sense. In poetry, I mean, in this sophisticated form of poetry, in Lashon HaKodesh, in these psukim, that is a given. That's a given. You have a sentence, you have multiple words, you have to rearrange the words to make sense out of it. It's done by design because that allows for psukim to be interpreted multiple ways. There are multiple ways you can interpret a pasuk when you have a collection of words and you need to rearrange them to bring out the flavor. However, it's not all that common when to do that, to take two psukim and to rearrange the order of a pasuk, of an entire pasuk. Normally you take it one pasuk, you have expression. So in the expression you can rearrange the words. But to go and to expect, you should read pasuk va first. Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim v'derech rishoim toivim al kein lo yokumu rishon ba mishpat v'chaton ba'da tzadikim. That's a bit of a stretch. That's a bit of a stretch to go and to take two psukim and to expect the person, a reader, to understand that you're going to have to take the second pasuk and put it before the first pasuk. That's a little bit of a stretch. We're very accustomed to switching words around in the pasuk itself, but to switch to psukim, to invert to psukim, that's a little bit more complex. But clearly, that's what's taking place over here. And Rabbi Kalman said, the pasuk itself lends itself to this interpretation because of the word ki in the beginning of pasuk vav. It's in fact telling us to make this connection and to understand the reason why the wicked have no chance is because Hashem only loves the tzaddikim, and the wicked, their ways are living a life of falsehood, which will self-destruct, and therefore they don't stand a chance. Let's go back and finish Rashi again. Al kain davukul mikra shalacharav ki yodei Hashem lefi shu yodeya derech tzaddikim. Hashem knows the way of the tzaddikim. Remember, He loves the way of the tzaddikim. Ulufanov he lehakira tamid. It is always in front of Hashem to recognize continuously. V'derech reshoim sinua be'enav. The way of the wicked is hate in the eyes of Hashem. U'ma'avira milufanov. And Hashem removes their way. Hashem does not wish to see it. Does not wish to recognize it. Al kain loy tehe hakamas regel lorishoim. They will not be able to stand. Their feet, their foot, will not be able to stand liyom hadin on the day of din. Vilachatoim likosev. Now Rashi here adds in a word. Rashi here adds in a very powerful word that it does not say in the pasuk. And for the chatoim likosev, for the sins to be written in the assembly of the tzaddikim. Where does the word likosev come into the picture over here? Writing, humandakar writing. Obviously, writing represents a principle of preservation, represents a kiyum. When something is written, kesoiv zoy zikaron lefonai leman yamdu yomim rabim. The purpose of writing is to the preservation. The chatoim do not stand a chance of being preserved amongst the assembly of the tzaddikim. Now, there's another very delicate point over here that the Mefarshim point out is the way Rashi describes survival is Hashem's hakorah. This is very apropos for this week's parsha. V'loy hikiroi ki hoyu yodav ki de esav achiv siirois. What does that say? He did not recognize him. So simply we read the words. He didn't recognize. First of all, he's blind. Yitzhak is blind. He can't see him anyway. He doesn't recognize him. He doesn't sense that this is the person. We see here in this pasuk, in this Rashi at least, and this is a more mystical type of stuff, is that we say every single day in davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh b'chol yoim tamid. Not every single day, every single moment HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He renews the world's existence. We would assume, if not for this chazal, not for this type of expression, that Hashem created the world 6,000 years ago, approximately 6,000 years ago. I created the world, and you can now take care of yourself. Chai noisei es atzmai. I created you, I created the world, I gave you a koyach to live, to survive. I have to go out to lunch now. I have to go out to business. I have to go check out what's doing somewhere else. I'll come back later. I'll come back later and I will reward every living creature for all the good deeds. I will punish all the evil. And we'll make cheshbonos. But you do not need me anymore to maintain your existence. I created a system, and it's not necessary for me to be part of this system anymore. I'm the judge, I'm the shofet, I'm the creator, and I'm the judge, but you can take care of yourself. Is that the way Hashem created this world? So Chazal say no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention. He created the world in such a way. Hashem can do whatever he wants. Let's not make any mistake about it. But Hashem did not create the world in such a way. Hashem created the world where it is necessary for Hashem to express his desire that the world should continue to exist every single moment. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be distracted for a single moment, then the world ceases to exist. And in fact, that's exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu eliminates those that he does not like. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to actually go and push a button, a kill switch. It's not that he has to go and bring about a Chorban. All Hashem needs to do to eliminate something that he's not pleased with is to force himself to be distracted. Once Hashem is distracted from paying attention to a certain person, it's just natural that creature, that object, ceases to exist. If there's an asteroid somewhere in this universe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides, you know what, I do not want to pay attention to this planet, to this rock. I'm just not going to pay attention to it. And Hashem does that, that rock ceases to exist. It just disappears off the face of the earth. Hashem doesn't need to go and launch a missile, come up with a way to have an asteroid come and shoot at it and collide and it's destroyed. Just Hashem's distraction from it will cause it to cease to exist. Hashem has to decide to be distracted. That's exactly what Rashi here is saying. There are in this world wicked people. The only reason why they still continue to exist is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paying attention to them. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when the time will come when he wants to eliminate the Rishoyim in this world, the way he will do it was, I'm not paying attention to you. You did not pay attention to me in your existence. You did not daven to me. You did not acknowledge my existence. So you know what? I'm not going to pay attention to you. And he will, in the mele, he will cease to exist. This is exactly what Rashi says. Rashi says, Hashem, he is aware. See, this is Rashi is saying not like what it says in the Rid. I was trying to be more poetic. Hashem, he loves the tzaddikim. He loves them. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reward them. Problem is, what is the parallel? How do you finish off the pasuk? And the wicked, what would you expect the pasuk to conclude? Hashem, he has a hatred for the Rishon. But it doesn't say that. So what the Rid says is beautiful, but it doesn't really flow with the end of the pasuk. Rashi appears to be aware of that, and Rashi says, it's not love and hate, it's acknowledgement. Yodea means, I'm aware. Hashem's awareness is existence. Yeah. Hashem is aware of the tzaddikim. A tzaddik acknowledges Hashem's existence, so Hashem reciprocates, I acknowledge your existence. Hashem's acknowledgement of existence gives life, brings blessing. When a rasha, I don't acknowledge, you don't acknowledge me, I don't acknowledge you. When Hashem does not acknowledge this person, that person naturally ceases to exist. Look at the Rashi. Ki yodea Hashem, lefi, shehu yodea, Hashem is aware of the derech tzadikim, ulefanav hi, and their way is in front of his eyes. It's present. Lehakira tamid, Hashem continuously dwells upon their ways, tamid. That's why they exist. But and the derech rishoim snua be'enof, and therefore now here's the key words uma'avirom lefanof. I don't want to look at this. I want to force myself to be distracted from these evil people, these evil beings. I want to distract. I want to remove their way, their behavior, their ways from my attention, my consciousness. And therefore, what happens? What is the result? Alkane. Now, because of this concept, alkane. Loi tehe hakomas regel loroshoim liyoim hadin vilachatoim likosei ba'adas sadikim. They don't exist. When Hashem distracts Himself, v'derech rishoim toivei, it ceases to exist without Hashem's awareness. Yeah.
That's a very Maharal idea.
Yeah.
The existence and non-existence. The
way, acknowledgement, attention.
A life of substance and consequence versus a life of non-substance and no consequence.
Exactly. That's right. This is a very deep idea.
Explains the passage,
just by not paying attention.
Away for a minute,
it ceases to exist.
Would be over.
This is an advanced idea because in a person doesn't really need to. This is not a necessary element to live as a Torah Jew. What's wrong with believing that Hashem created the world? Yesh Me'ayin. He created the world. He put into this world a koyach of teva, and Hashem stands at the side and he watches. He watches very carefully what's happening, and Hashem intervenes. This hashkocha pratis, hashkocha klolis, there's reward, there's punishment. But Hashem created a world that is independent, so to speak. What's wrong with that? Is that idea apikorsis? I don't think so. Hashem created, He's the creator. He has a kill switch. There's no one that has any shlita in this world other than Hashem. It's His creation, but there's something called teva. There's something called teva. The earth rotates on its axis. The moon rotates around the earth. The earth rotates around the sun. There's a koyach of teva in the world, and Hashem is there. For Klal Yisrael, this hashkocha pratis, for the world is hashkocha klalis, and there's reward, there's punishment, there's din, there's cheshbon. Does Hashem have to consciously every single second from our limited perspective want the world to exist? Is that
a prayer? What would be the point of prayer? Because God is not intervening.
You want Hashem to intervene. The purpose of prayer is that just because Hashem created Hashem by through prayer, Hashem intervenes.
Saying that God is not intervening.
No, chas v'sholom, Hashem intervenes every single second. But from our perspective, from the simple perspective of a human being, Hashem created a system. Hashem, you turn on the lights. Do you have to every single second, Mr. Marillis, there's a light switch. Do you have to hold your finger on the light switch for every single second for the lights to remain on? The lights are off. So you go over to the wall and you press the button. You press the button, the lights are on. Wow, look at that. Do you have to keep your finger on the switch? No. Go walk away, right?
Don't you have to pray that the lights will stay on?
But do you have to keep your finger on the switch? No, that's not the way it's made, right? Then you have a faulty light switch. Let's say you want to turn it off. Can you turn it off? Of course, I can walk over to the switch and turn it off. Let's say there's too much light. I can take out a bulb. I can remove this bulb, I can remove that bulb, I can get a new fixture, I can move the lights around in the room, I can do whatever I want. But when I push the button, it stays on. I could turn it off, I can manipulate it, I can get different types of switches, different types of fixtures. Is it apikorsis to say that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He created the world, He's there 24/7 to oversee it, to watch over it, to intervene at every single moment, depending upon a person's behavior, a tzaddik v'rasha, at the end he will reward and punish. To say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world where in order for the lights to remain on, he must keep his finger on the switch. That's what it's saying. That's what this idea says. Hashem has to keep his finger on the switch 24/7 to make sure the lights remain on. And if Hashem is distracted for one moment and lets go of the light switch, then the lights turn off. That's exactly what it's saying. That's what it's saying. That's what Rashi is saying. Rashi, you can read that into Rashi. There are tzaddikim and there are rishonim. In the meantime, Hashem is putting his finger on the switch. I want you, I'm paying attention to you, I'm paying attention to you. Obviously, the more Hashem pays attention, the more life that creature has. But the time will come when Hashem says, you know, your entire existence, you didn't pay attention to me. So you know what? I'm going to force myself to be distracted from your light switch. I'm not going to pay attention. Hashem takes his finger off the switch. Poof! He ceases to exist. Ki yodea. When it comes to a tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware, cognizant, pays attention. That's why the tzaddik exists. And the more Hashem pays attention, it's natural, the more blessing comes to the tzaddik. The wicked, Hashem doesn't need to go and launch missiles and maneuver, manipulate. All Hashem needs to do is, you know, I'm distracted now. I'm going to force myself to be distracted and just take my finger off the switch. And poof, the derech rishoim toived. The word toived is the opposite of the word yodea. Rashi is coming to explain what does it mean yodea. You pay attention and you don't pay attention. If you're yodea, you exist. If you're not yodea, then you don't exist. Yeah.
I see something very beautiful here. But David HaMelech created the whole perek. He started with derech. With derech hatayim la'ashrei ha'ish shelo alach b'derech hatayim. And he finished the perek also. He yodea Hashem derech tzadikim. Derech tzadikim is one way. Torat Hashem chetzo. Derech reshaim is whatever. He doesn't have to explain it even. As Hashem yodea what tzaddik does, he loves it, Torah Hashem chepzo and so forth, he connects to Hashem. But derech reshaim, there's nothing, it's obeyed. Kamotz Hashem tidafen ruach. He has a ground to stand on, the tzaddik, because he goes with the Torah, the other one doesn't.
All the ideas are intertwined, absolutely.
In observing how things go, at least from my eyes, I don't see Hashem being any less involved with Rishoyim than he is with Tzadikim. I mean, they're also moving, they're also doing, and obviously Hashem is very much involved in whatever.
Of course, in the meantime, this world has not come to a point of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being distracted from the wicked. Hashem is allowing the wicked to exist. Not only do they exist, they thrive.
Yeah, I mean,
this is the future. This is not now. This is the end of days. Of course, the wicked. We're now living in time. Mashiach didn't come yet.
They're booming.
Absolutely. Yeah. But this is the future. Well, there are no wicked now. Right now, loychein horishoim. This is what the end of days. But obviously, right now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving a license for the wicked to exist. But the day will come when Hashem will just, you know, I will force myself to be distracted, and that brings an end to the wicked. Okay, we're going to stop over here. On Monday, we're just going to do maybe a little. We have to be very selective in what we discuss because I want to move on to Mizmar Beis. We cannot dwell upon a Mizmar too much. We've already spent 2 days on this Mizmar plus an introduction. It's not what I thought it's going to take so long. So we're just going to have to really just be very, very selective and move on to Mizmar Beis. Lama Rok Shugayim. Okay, we'll take a short break.